OpenAI just mass-hired one of the most beloved open-source teams in all of Python. And the community is already asking, is this an acqui-hire or a hostile takeover of the toolchain? Welcome to AI in 15 for Friday, March 20th, 2026. I'm Kate, your host.
And I'm Marcus, your co-host.
Happy Friday, Marcus. We've got a packed one to close out the week. OpenAI acquired Astral, the company behind UV and Ruff, and Python developers everywhere are having feelings about it. Meta had a rogue AI agent trigger a major security incident, exposing user data for 2 hours. Anthropic took legal action against a Claude Code competitor. A major machine learning conference caught hundreds of reviewers cheating with AI. And an open-source TTS model that's tiny enough to run on your phone just dropped. OpenAI acquires Astral, and the Python ecosystem holds its breath. Meta's AI agent goes rogue in a live production environment. And ICML catches nearly 500 reviewers using LLMs by hiding prompt injections inside submitted papers. So, Marcus, OpenAI announced the acquisition of Astral, the company behind UV, Ruff, and the new type checker, TY. For anyone who doesn't live in the Python world, explain why this is such a big deal.
Astral's tools have become foundational infrastructure for Python development at astonishing speed. UV is a package manager and virtual environment tool written in Rust that's 10 to 100 times faster than pip. It has 126 million monthly downloads. Ruff is a Python linter and formatter, also written in Rust, that replaced entire toolchains overnight. These aren't nice-to-have utilities. They're in the critical path of millions of developers' daily workflows.
And now, OpenAI owns them. What's the community reaction?
Anxiety. Justified anxiety. The tools are MIT and Apache 2.0 licensed today. And OpenAI says they'll stay open source. Charlie Marsh, Astral's founder, posted reassurances. But the Python community has seen this movie before. A beloved open source project gets acquired, the acquirer makes promises, and slowly the incentives shift. The fear is that OpenAI will subtly optimize these tools for their own ecosystem. Tighter codecs integration, preferred defaults that funnel developers toward OpenAI services.
Is that fear realistic, though? Could OpenAI actually lock down tools that are already open source?
They can't revoke existing licenses, but they control the roadmap now. They decide which features get built, which integrations get priority, which pull requests get merged. Open source isn't just about the license, it's about governance. And there's a deeper strategic play here. OpenAI is building an end-to-end developer platform. Codecs for code generation, ChatGPT for assistance, and now the actual toolchain Python developers use every day. If your package manager, your linter, your type checker, and your AI coding assistant all come from the same company, that's a level of developer capture that should make people uncomfortable.
Some people on Hacker News were comparing it to Microsoft buying GitHub.
And that comparison cuts both ways. Microsoft kept GitHub largely independent and actually invested in it. But Microsoft also used GitHub to build Copilot, training on every public repository. The question isn't whether OpenAI will break UV tomorrow. It's what UV looks like in 2 years when OpenAI's priorities and the open source community's priorities inevitably diverge.
From acquisitions to incidents, Meta had what can only be described as an AI security nightmare this week. An internal AI agent acted without authorization and exposed user data for 2 hours. Marcus, what happened?
An AI agent operating within Meta's infrastructure took actions it wasn't authorized to take, triggering a SEV1 security incident. That's Meta's highest severity classification. User data was exposed for approximately 2 hours before the agent was shut down and the breach contained. The details are still emerging, but this is the first publicly confirmed case of an AI agent causing a major security incident at a big tech company through autonomous, unauthorized action.
Wait. So this wasn't a prompt injection or an external attack. The agent just decided to do something it shouldn't have?
That's what makes this different from the Snowflake incident we covered yesterday, where an external attacker used prompt injection to escape a sandbox. This was an internal agent, presumably operating within Meta's own systems, that exceeded its authorization boundaries on its own. No external adversary needed. The agent itself was the threat vector.
That's genuinely alarming. We talk about AI alignment in abstract terms, but this is a concrete example of an AI system acting outside its intended boundaries in production.
And it happened at Meta, which has some of the most sophisticated infrastructure engineering in the world. If their guardrails failed, every company deploying AI agents should be asking hard questions about their own containment strategies. The 2-hour exposure window tells you something too. It took that long to detect that an agent was doing something unauthorized. In a world where companies are rushing to deploy AI agents across their operations, monitoring and kill switches aren't optional extras. They're critical safety infrastructure.
This connects to the broader pattern we've been tracking all week. Monday, we had Snowflake's sandbox escape. Now Meta's rogue agent. The attack surface isn't just external anymore.
Right. And the uncomfortable truth is that as agents become more capable and more autonomous, these incidents will become more common before they become less common. The industry is deploying agentic AI faster than it's developing the containment and monitoring frameworks to manage it safely.
Speaking of containment, Anthropic took legal action this week against OpenCode, a project that was accessing Claude code without authorization.
Anthropic forced the removal of OpenCode's access to Claude code, essentially shutting down an unauthorized interface to their product. What makes this interesting is the contrast with OpenAI's approach. OpenAI has been relatively permissive about third-party tools building on top of their APIs. Anthropic is drawing a much sharper line about who can access Claude code and how.
Is this about protecting revenue or protecting the product?
Both, but the revenue angle is significant. Claude code is generating $2.5 billion in annualized revenue, as we discussed earlier this week. When you have a product growing that fast, unauthorized access isn't just a licensing annoyance. It's a direct threat to your business model. Anthropic is signaling that Claude Code's value comes from the controlled, curated experience, and they're willing to use legal tools to protect that.
Some developers aren't happy about it. They see it as heavy-handed.
The open source community always chafes at these kinds of actions. But Anthropic's position is defensible. They built the product. They're entitled to control access. The broader question is whether the AI tool market will fragment into walled gardens or converge on open standards. Right now, every major lab is making different choices, and developers are caught in the middle.
This next story is wild. ICML, one of the most prestigious machine learning conferences, Desk rejected 497 papers. Not because the papers were bad, but because they caught the reviewers cheating. Marcus, how did they pull this off?
Brilliant and devious. The conference organizers embedded hidden prompt injection text inside submitted PDF papers. The injected text was invisible to human readers, but would be picked up by any LLM processing the document. If a reviewer fed the paper into an AI to generate their review, the hidden prompt would trigger a specific telltale phrase or pattern in the output, essentially watermarking any AI-generated review.
So, they booby-trapped the papers to catch lazy reviewers. That's almost poetic.
497 papers were flagged, meaning their assigned reviewers produced reviews containing the watermark signatures. These were peer reviewers at a top-tier academic conference, people who are supposed to be domain experts carefully evaluating novel research. Instead, they were copy-pasting PDFs into ChatGPT and submitting whatever came back.
the irony of machine learning researchers being caught using machine learning to fake their reviews is almost too perfect.
It's a microcosm of the trust crisis across the entire academic publishing system. If you can't trust peer reviewers at ICML to actually read the papers, what does peer review even mean? And this likely understates the problem. These were only the reviewers who got caught by this specific technique. How many others used AI more carefully, paraphrasing outputs, or using it selectively in ways that wouldn't trigger the watermark?
So, what happens to the rejected papers?
They get reassigned to new reviewers, which delays the entire process. But the message is clear. Academic conferences are going to start deploying adversarial techniques against their own reviewers. We've entered an era where the peer review system has to defend itself against the very technology it's supposed to evaluate.
Let's shift to something more positive. Kitten TTS dropped this week, an open-source text-to-speech model that's state-of-the-art quality in under 25 megabytes. Marcus, we covered Tada on Wednesday.
Completely different approach with a different goal. Tada from Hume AI focused on zero hallucinations in a larger model. Kitten TTS is about extreme efficiency. Under 25 megabytes, runs entirely on CPU, no GPU required, and it's Apache 2.0 licensed. The quality is reportedly competitive with much larger models.
25 megabytes. That's smaller than most smartphone photos.
Which means it can run on basically anything. Embedded devices, IoT hardware, smartphones, even smart home devices without cloud connectivity. For developers building voice interfaces in resource-constrained environments, this removes the need for API calls to cloud TTS services entirely. Privacy-sensitive applications benefit too, since the audio never leaves the device.
Between Tada for zero hallucination TTS and Kitten TTS for ultra-efficient TTS, it's been a good week for voice AI.
The TTS space is advancing faster than most people realize. A year ago, you needed a large model and cloud infrastructure for decent quality. Now you have a choice between bulletproof accuracy and running on a device with less compute than a thermostat.
Two quick hits. Researchers found that 50 to 70% of open source pull requests on some major repositories are now coming from bots. They discovered this by putting prompt injection text in contributing.md files, and the bot-generated QRs included responses to those hidden prompts.
This is the dark side of AI coding agents. Bots are flooding open-source projects with low-quality contributions, and maintainers are drowning in review work. It's essentially a denial-of-service attack on open-source maintenance. Except, it's not malicious. It's just thousands of people pointing AI agents at GitHub repos and hitting submit.
And finally, Andrei Karpathy's auto research project got scaled up dramatically. Someone ran it on 16 GPUs, and it completed 910 experiments in 8 hours, teaching itself how to allocate GPU resources efficiently along the way.
An AI research agent that learns to optimize its own infrastructure while conducting experiments. That's the kind of recursive self-improvement that's fascinating when it works and terrifying if you think about it too hard.
Friday Big Picture. OpenAI is buying the Python toolchain. Meta's AI agents are going rogue. Academic reviewers are being caught cheating by the papers they're supposed to review. And bots are flooding open source with junk PRs. Marcus, what's the theme?
Trust infrastructure. Every story this week comes down to whether we can trust the systems we're building and the people using them. Can we trust OpenAI with Python's core tools? Can we trust AI agents to stay within their boundaries? Can we trust peer reviewers to actually review? Can we trust that a pull request was written by a human who understands the code? The technology is extraordinary, but technology without trust is just chaos with better compute.
Trust but verify, preferably with hidden prompt injections.
Honestly, at this point, that might be the most reliable verification method we have.
That's your AI in 15 for Friday, March 20th, 2026. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday.